is found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke and also in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. We left off speaking to you last week about Lazarus and the rich man. We spoke to you about both of them died. First Lazarus died and then the rich man. Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, but the rich man, he had a burial. And then we read, he lifted up his eyes in hell. Two places I spoke to you about, to which one are you and I traveling? Either to the one or to the other. It's a solemn thing, my hearers. So the rich man opened his eyes in hell. And when he opened his eyes, he seen Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Now, the rich man, he was given then to see where Lazarus had went to. He knew Lazarus, he had laid at his gate. He had ignored him. He hadn't done anything wonderful for Lazarus, who was a crippled man who had to be carried and laid there and who begged that he might have the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But this poor man, he was now in glory. He was in that glorious place where there was peace, where there was happiness, there was joy forever and ever. And the rich man, he was in that awful place called hell, where he was in torments. Oh, my hearers, we can't imagine what that will be, to be in hell. Every one of us who has not been born again and who goes on in their sins and dies in their sins will finally end up in this place called hell. We read that this rich man in hell, he cried unto Father Abraham that he would have mercy upon him. When we die, the door of mercy closes. It was too late for this rich man to cry for mercy. There was no mercy to be had in this place. Still he cried unto Father Abraham, who was the type of Jesus Christ, who we must think of as being the one titled Father Abraham. This man was in torments. This will be a terrible torment, my hearers, for anyone to open their eyes in hell and to see afar off those who they knew had feared God, who had loved God, who had walked with God, and they in this awful place. We read of the rich, of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, so that when the foolish virgins returned, the door was closed, forever closed. So this door of mercy was closed for this rich man. He cried to Father Abraham for mercy. Oh, let me entreat you, my dear Bible class. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to cry for mercy. Oh, may you cry while you are yet alive, while you are well, while yet the merciful God, who is so rich in mercy unto all that call upon him, is willing to grant mercy. Oh, believe me, when you die, it'll be too late to cry for mercy. Oh, may you do as we read in the 18th chapter of this book. We read there of a blind man. He sat by the wayside. He couldn't see, but he heard that Jesus went by. And this blind man, he wanted to be delivered from his blindness. And when he heard that Jesus went by, he lifted up his voice and he cried, O Son of David, have mercy upon me. And now the people that were going before, they rebuked this blind man. In other words, they told him to keep quiet, but he did not. He cried much more. And Jesus, he did not do like the people did. Oh, no. He did not rebuke this man because he was crying. He stood still. The cry reached his heart. And he called him to him, and he said unto him, What willest thou that I do unto thee? And the blind man said, that thou would give me my sight. And immediately he received his sight, and he arose, and he glorified God and followed Jesus in the way. Why do I bring this before you, my hearers? Because I love your immortal souls. There may be many voices in you which rebuke you, which say to you, you better not cry anymore. There's no use for you. Don't pray anymore. Where does this come from? Sometimes from our own evil heart of unbelief, and sometimes from the devil and his helpers. Now, this man was told not to cry anymore either, but he persevered. And by persevering, he was heard. He received an answer. He was made well again. Oh, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, so that you may also be reconciled unto this God, persevere, my hearers, and cry to him while you are yet in the land of the living. And may this merciful God give unto you, so that he may likewise call you and you may come near unto him. And may I ask you, if he did this to you, what would your request be? The request of the blind man was that he would receive his sight. What would your request be? Have you any requests for Jesus to do something for you? What would it be? Pardon my iniquities, for they are many and great. Or save me from my sins, would that be your request? Blessed request if you are troubled about your sins. Oh, may he grant unto you what he did to the blind man. He gave him his request. Oh, he gives so liberally, so fully. Cry, my dear Bible class. You can never do it enough. And this man cried too late. You are still alive yet. You are yet in the land of the living. You know not when death might come upon you. Oh, this rich man, he prayed that Father Abraham would send Lazarus unto him, and that he would dip the tip of his finger in water and put it upon his tongue, for he was tormented in this flame. This rich man, when he was alive, he had plenty to eat, plenty to drink. His table was lavishly spread. He never thought that he would get into such a place when he died, that he would like to have somebody just touch the water with the tip of his finger, just mind you, that it's wet, and then put it on his tongue. This is the flame that was burning inside of this man. He was tormented in this flame. Oh, and what an awful state was this man. Believe it, my hearers, it's a fact, it's a reality. It's something that probably some of you are going to go through in eternity. I wouldn't want any one of you to go through this, but this is written for our instruction, for our learning. It's not a fable, it's the word of God. This man, he desired that Lazarus would come and do this for him. He had never done much for Lazarus. Lazarus had laid at his gate. He never gave him a nice meal. He never put a new suit of clothes on him. He never called a physician to heal the sores that were on Lazarus's body. He ignored him. He spent all his money on himself and on his friends. He was so selfish. All for me. He didn't care about this poor man lying in his gate. Oh, when we do this, believe me, my hearers, it's a sign that we don't have grace. Oh, blessed is the man that considereth the poor, we read in Psalm 41, and that's very true. We never know how poor we might become in life and what we might have to beg for. And this rich man, he was in torments in this flame, he said. This teaches us, my hearers, that God will open this book of conscience. That this man's conscience, when open, he was given to look back at his past life. And what had his life been? How had he spent the good things that God had given unto him? How had he misused them? But this, when God reveals this to us, and this he will do when we are in hell, this will be that word that dieth not, and that fire that will never be quenched. This conscience that you and I have, God will open it up. You can smother it now. You can talk over the top of it now, and you go on in your own ways. But when you get to this place, you'll never be able to do that anymore. God will open it up to you. Have you ever had your conscience witness against you sometimes when you've sinned? Have you ever been troubled? So troubled that you would have liked to get rid of that voice inside, and you couldn't rest until you did? You had to make good something that you had done wrong or that you had said wrong. Just think, when you come into eternity, and it should be your lot in this place, this book will go open, never to be closed anymore. And never, never will you get any relief for it. This man was in torment, and all he wished and desired that only a drop of water would be put on his tongue. And now this was not even granted to him. It was not given to him. How awful, my hearers. Could I picture it any worse? The Bible pictures it this way, not me. And the Bible is true. And now Abraham answered the rich man and said unto him that God had placed a great gulf between them, that those that were in heaven could not go down to those that were in hell, and neither could those that were in the place where the rich man was come up to heaven. An impassable gulf, a chasm that nobody could go over. God has made an eternal separation between these two places, my hearers. Now, where these two places are, no one knows. No one knows where heaven is. No one knows where hell is. God only knows this, but they're there. No question about it. And there's no separation that could bring us either into the one place or into the other place. For instance, those that are in heaven, enjoying the pleasures and the glory of that glorious place, being with God, with the angels, and with the saints forever and ever, looking down upon some that they knew in this life, maybe their wife, it may be their husband, it may be their children, they are in agony. They are in torment. And as much as their compassions may be aroused and they would like to go down and comfort them, they cannot. They cannot. God has separated these two places by this gulf. And neither can any that are in that awful place of hell climb up into that place called heaven. Impossible. Just think of this, my hearers. This is forever and ever. And therefore, Abraham instructed this rich man that no one could come to help him or relieve him. And this was cut off for him. And then he spake unto Abraham again and said, Father Abraham, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may witness to them, that they may not come in this same place of torment. We have here then the rich man in hell concerned about those that were still alive, those with whom he had lived, those his brothers. Oh, he was thinking, if this is going to be like this forever and ever, oh, I wish somebody would go to them. I wish somebody would talk to them and tell them what an awful place this is, that they may never come in this place. This is what he desired Abraham would do, that he would send Lazarus to his father's house. It came home to him probably too. When he was alive, how had he been with his brothers? Oh, he had ignored all religion. And he had lived with his brothers, lived according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires and the lust of the flesh. And he had probably been so rich that he could even help his brothers out, and they lived like him. They enjoyed the things and the pleasures of this life too. They had likewise ignored all warnings and all admonitions coming probably in and through the medium of the word, but they did not even probably go under the word. But now the Bible was true to this rich man. Now it was a reality. Now he wanted somebody to go back to these brothers of his and speak to them and warn them. Oh, he felt that he still was the cause, if they should ever come into that place, that he helped them to come there yet. And he was so concerned about this. And now Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. My hearers, this instructs us that it is Moses and the prophets that are used by God for the salvation of immortal souls. He has given his word, his testimony, his gospel, and in and through the medium of that, he saves sinners. It is by the word of God that we are born again unto an endless life, a precious blessing that God has given, a wonderful blessing, my hearers. He's given it to us. We have the word before us. This is the word whereby we are to be saved. The rich man was told that they had Moses and the prophets. So we have Moses and the prophets. We have been hearing all our life long out of this precious book. Oh, I would say to you, see to how you hear. All that God may give you to hear. And you open your heart and to receive the truth by faith, that it may be to your eternal welfare. And when Abraham said this to him, then this man, the rich man, he likewise was cut off by thinking, by sending Lazarus to his brothers, that they would hear. And when he said, they have Moses and the prophets, then he answered Abraham and said, nay, Father Abraham, if one should rise from the dead and go to them, then they would hear. Oh, many believe this, my hearers. Many that are still alive, maybe some of you that are listening to me are just like the rich man. Oh, there are so many people that say, dead is dead. Nobody ever came back to tell us how it is there. You have creatures like that. Oh, my hearers, the Bible tells us the truth. The rich man is telling the truth in hell too. And this rich man, he had the idea that if somebody arose from the dead and went to his brothers, this would be more powerful. This would make more of an impression. This would carry weight rather than Moses and the prophets. Maybe some of you think that. If somebody rose from the dead and began to tell us how it is there, oh, we would believe them. But the word of God, oh, that's common. We don't believe that. So many people are like this. They go on ignoring the word, not believing the word, and they perish in their sins.
they fall into this awful place. The rich man wanted Lazarus to arise from the dead and go to his brothers, thinking that they would sure listen to him. Why, my hearers, believe me, if an angel of God came down in our midst and began to preach in my place right now and began to warn you and tell you what it is in hell, and that if you go on in your sins and you'll perish in them, I don't think it would make one impression upon you unless the Spirit of God brought it home to your heart. They have Moses and the prophets, so have we. And if they do not hear them, even though one should rise from the dead, they would not repent. Very true, my hearers. This teaches us that the work of God, the grace of God, is his special gift, and that he only can cause his word to enter into our hearts and cause us to repent, to return back unto God. Oh, when you come up to this house, do pray to him that he would apply his truth to your heart, that it may lead to your repentance, that it may lead you to seek him yet while it is yet called today. For tomorrow, we don't know anything about it. It might be forever too late. All these are solemn truths, my hearers. Do not ignore them. Do not pass them by. Or seek to find a place at the feet of Jesus. Call upon him while he is yet near. Seek him while he is yet to be found. For we never know what God might do under the means of grace that he has given us. The rich man in hell, the poor man in heaven. Oh, have I any that are poor? Have I any that are like Lazarus, spiritually? Have I any beggars listening to me who lie at the gate of this glorious God in heaven above, begging him and entreating him that he would have mercy upon them? Oh, be sure, the time is coming when you will not need to beg anymore. You will be carried, transported to that glorious place where you'll never have to pray anymore. But you will be given to experience what we read. It has not been heard from the beginning of the world what God has prepared for them that love him. A glorious abode, my hearers, to be free from all sin, from all the evils and consequences of sin. Lazarus was delivered from an afflicted body which was caused by sin, and he was taken to that glorious place to be with God forever and ever and to enjoy his presence. Oh, what a wonderful eternity, my hearers, that will be if you may be carried by the same hands to that glorious place. I will now come to our lesson of today, which we find in the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. There we read of a man by the name of Lazarus again, and a certain man named Lazarus of the town of Bethany was sick. Of this man, Lazarus, he had two sisters named Martha and Mary. But they lived together in unity. The three of them loved God, feared God. And where love and fear of God is, there is unity. But this man had become sick. I don't think that hardly anyone listening to me has ever been sick. Most of you have had sickness in your life. You've had something that afflicted you, some illness, some poor health. This man also, he was sick. What do we do when somebody is sick? We usually take the person that's sick either to the doctor to have them examined, to find out what the trouble is, and to have them treated if possible for the affliction that they have. Or if the person cannot get to the doctor, we bring the doctor home if possible, that he may visit the house. Now, when there's somebody sick in the family, we all are concerned, every one of us, concerned about whether they're going to get better or not. And especially if we love them and are very close to them, then we likewise do like these two sisters did. Or they loved their brother, they seen him sick, and he was very sick, he was nigh unto death. When we see somebody in this condition, then we are moved with compassion. If possible, we would do everything we could for them. Have you ever felt that way when you were by somebody that was sick? Or if you love somebody, you would like to help them. Some of you have taken care of your mother, your father, when they were sick for a certain period of time. And how many times have you stood by their bedside and wished that you could do something for them and make them well again as you were, and you couldn't, you were helpless. You had to go on in life and do what you could for them. And these two sisters, they likewise loved their brother, and they sent word to Christ, and said unto Christ by a messenger, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Ah, what a wonderful blessing, my hearers, if we can go to Christ with one that is sick in our family and say, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Oh, to think that there's one that loveth this one that's sick. One that is able to make it well, one that is able to restore it back to health. They didn't send word to say to Christ, "Come hastily, come because the one that you love is sick." No, they just made it known to him. And in this way, they thought, if he loves this person as he does, well, then he'll sure come right away. Now when Christ received this message, he did not immediately come to the place where Lazarus dwelt. But this teaches us likewise, my hearers, that we, when we have somebody that is sick in our family, we are privileged likewise to go to God with this person. The Apostle James tells us and teaches us, is any sick? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is anybody afflicted? Let them call the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise up the sick. And God will raise him up. And if he has sinned, his sins will be forgiven. This is what the Apostle James teaches us to do when we have affliction and sickness in our homes. And now this person being sick and being appealed to Christ to come, Christ didn't immediately come. So this teaches us in our trials, in our afflictions, that we must not expect immediate help sometimes. We know not his thoughts, we know not his ways. He is wonderful in all his dealings with his people. He knew what was going on back there in Bethany. He was God. And he did not immediately return to this place. But he spake unto his disciples and said unto them, "This sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby." Was this sickness unto death? Sure it was. Wasn't it fatal? Didn't he die? What does it mean? This sickness will not be unto death. It meant the second death, eternal death. Lazarus would never come into that, never. And what was going to take place would be to the glory of God and likewise to the glory of the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had somebody deathly sick in your family, your wife, your children? Somebody who you appealed unto God to, that he would restore them, that he would make them well again? And did God hear you? Did God answer you? Did he restore that one for whom you prayed? And when it was restored, did you not praise and thank God that he heard you, that he answered you? Was it not to his glory that this took place? Oh, I am sure this has taken place in your life, my hearers. It has bound you to God. It has caused you to love him, to fear him. Oh, my hearers, of these sisters, I am sure they were looking out the door, they were looking out the window, expecting Christ to come, but he didn't come. He abode 2 days in the place where he was. And then he speaks unto his disciples, that let us go into Judea. But the disciples, they said, Master, the Jews of late wanted to stone thee there. Why wilt thou return to Judea? And he said unto them, there are 12 hours in the day. When a person walks in the day, he walks by the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbleth because he has no light in him. This is very true, my hearers. When we walk in the light, we walk freely, we walk confidently. But if we are walking in the dark and we know not the way, then we are apt to stumble and fall. I stopped by that text, my hearers. I said, Lord, how true. When it's night inside, and we see no evidences, no signs of the grace of God in us, and we feel we have no light in us, we are apt to stumble, very much so. We are apt to fall. Oh, Lord, let me not stumble. Have you ever prayed that, my hearers? Oh, we don't want to fall. We don't want to sink away. We want to remain on the way that God has placed us. Therefore, we need light from heaven above. And now Jesus spake unto his disciples and said, Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, well, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. But now Jesus did not mean of a natural sleep, but he meant that Lazarus had died. And now this is the truth. If he sleepeth, he doeth well. Some of you that take care of people that are sick, if you see somebody in a deep natural sleep that's sick, you say, that's good, very good. When they awake, you can notice it on a person. They are stronger than they were before they went to sleep. A good natural sleep is very healthy for a person. Many of them, of course, are put to sleep by sedatives, which we can't say are too good. But when a person is going to be restored by God, the Jews say, that's the sixth preservative that God gives when they fall asleep and have a good sleep. So likewise, Lazarus was spoken of by Jesus as being asleep, but he was not asleep, my hearers. He was dead. So we could also say death is but a sleep for the people of God. It's not as it is for the wicked. It's the resting of their body in that repose in the grave to the day of resurrection. They that walk in their righteousness shall sleep upon their beds, meaning sleep in the grave. And now Jesus then, he decided to return to Judea, to the place where Lazarus dwelt. He then, with his disciples, went on this journey. And now when he got near to the place, we read that Martha, when she heard that Jesus was come, she ran out to meet him. And when she came to Jesus, she said unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. Oh, my hearers, this is so true even in the natural sense. When somebody is passing away before us, if Jesus was there, he could restore, he could bring back. But when the person is passed away, then there's no hope anymore. And now Jesus, he loved these two sisters and he loved Lazarus. And he was going to do something for them that he had never done for any others that he loved. Jesus had raised others from the dead. He had raised the woman of Nain's son. When he met the funeral coming out of the city, he raised up her son. He raised up likewise Jairus' daughter, a girl 12 years of age. She had died. But he had never raised any out of the grave who had laid there 4 days. This was an exception. He loved them. He was going to do something for them. Wonderful. Something that they would never forget. And now when this Martha said this to him, as Jesus answered her and said unto her, your brother shall rise again. And she said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. But I know that thou can do all things, and that thou, if thou shalt ask God, thou can do wonders. When she spoke like this, it just seems as if she sensed that Jesus was going to do something for her brother. In between the lines, we would read her faith, that she believed that he was able to do this. But she spoke a wonderful truth. She says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. She had then faith that there was going to be a resurrection of the dead, that there was a day of judgment coming when everyone would be raised from the dead and everyone would have to appear before him. All this was spoken probably 2,000 years back. It hasn't come yet, the day of resurrection. But we're hastening towards it. It's nearing its approach. It's 2,000 years nearer than it was when she said this. And how long it shall be, none of us know. But there is a day coming when Jesus shall come in the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. God has passed all judgment unto his Son. And when he comes, then this day will be here. It will be a blessed day if we have been raised from the dead, to death and sins for ourselves, but it will be a terrible day for the wicked, for they will try to flee from before the presence of him that is upon the throne, the day of resurrection. May God prepare us for that solemn day, that we may be found clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that God the Father may look upon us as he looks upon his Son, with a look of love, with a look of favor, and call us to be with him forever and ever. So this concludes part of this lesson for today. We hope to pick it up next week, the Lord willing. That's all.